Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to expound verses 1 through 6 and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Our Faith is in Christ Alone. Your faith, my faith, is in Christ alone. Are we there? Let's go to God's Word. And it reads, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. And by faith we understand the words were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Now, verse 4, key verse right here. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. Meaning, thousands of years later, God is still echoing the righteousness that was upon him. Amen. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death and was not found. Why? Because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, this next verse of scripture is vital to you and I today. And it's found in verse 6. Say this with me, but without faith. Say that again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God, praise God. So I impose a question upon us, and it's right here. How do you respond when God doesn't answer your prayers? How do you respond? Do you have pity parties? Do you throw in the towel? Do you give up? Do you chuck it all away? Some of you have been walking with God for over 20 years, and all of a sudden, a situation arises where it's horrific, and you think everything is now shattered and falling apart in your life. Is that the moment to quit? Or is that the moment to keep going? Huh? That's right. We persevere, right? Now, my next question is this. Does your faith waver if he doesn't provide what you've requested in time and manner you expected? You see, there are many needs and there are many things that we desire that we would want God to bless us with. For some of you, you're praying and asking God for a job. Maybe some of you are praying for a spouse. Maybe you would love children. We don't know, but God knows every situation. Can I get an amen? But it's how we respond when things don't go your way immediately. That's the key with God. Listen, when COVID hit in March, we were all told to go home. And so I'm thinking we went home, and then when our Jewish friends decided to go a different direction, and they, because our lease, we were month to month, so they could quit on us anytime at that moment. And they decided to go with another church. And so here I am, we're at home. And yet, God had this in mind. And he said, be patient. Be patient. So what did we do? We served God gladly at home. Praise God. We weren't there moping and, oh, whoa. We don't have a church no more. And so, my friends, although it may seem that the problem of fluctuating faith is the result of unanswered prayer, it's actually caused by a misunderstanding of what God is doing in our lives, in your life. You got to believe that God's at work. Can I get an amen? God is always at work in our lives. And he may not change the outcome right then and there, Oh, but God is faithful. Because we are more than conquerors through Christ, right? Because he's the one that strengthens us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Now, can you actually count it all joy when trials and tribulations come your way? Huh? Can you actually smile and say, okay, God, bring it on, God. I can take it. Is that you? Well, what does the Word of God say? Look at this up here in James. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Many trials will come to us unexpectedly. But God is saying, how are you going to respond to these questions or these situations of life that happen? Are we going to run? Are we going to just throw in the towel? Or are we going to just bury our head like an ostrich in the sand? Knowing that the testing of your faith, here is the answer. It produces what? Patience. You see, every one of us, we want a Burger King life, having it our way. We want things to happen now. And if we don't get what we want now, we pout. That's right. We slam doors. We even kick the dog. Oh, come on. I will never kick Paco or Chikaroo. Chikaroo. He's our rally dog now. He's on the bed when she loves the Padres, and you know, and he's up there. Woof, woof, woof. He don't know why he's barking, but he's just barking with us. Praise God. But look what the Word of God says. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, what? Lacking nothing. God will equip you. God will strengthen you. God will lift you up. God will allow you to go through the storm without being burnt. You know, there's a book I read, Through the Fire Without Being Burnt. A lot of times he's going to allow us to go through the fire. Can I get amen?
Amen?
That when we get on the other end, that we can praise him and glorify him, say, thank you, God, for that trial. Thank you for the situation at hand. Thank you, God, for allowing me to go through. Because you're teaching me something. It's a teachable moment. Can I get amen? It's always a teachable moment with God. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to us liberally and without reproach, that it will be given to him. Listen, God is liberal. Now, that's the one thing that I can agree. You know, there's the conservative and the liberal, but on this connotation, I love him to be liberal with all wisdom. Can I get an amen? Give it all to me, God. Because this is not a political slogan. He's liberal, he's generous, he's gracious. He will empower us. But here's the key. Verse 6, right up here. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. That's the key. Do you believe God or do you doubt God? You see, when you doubt God, you're not going to receive one iota. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Okay, so here's the key. You want blessings from God as you go through the situation at hand? Here's the key. Praise him. Thank him. Glorify him. Magnify him. Come what may, oh God. Lord, I know that this too shall pass. Can I get an amen? This too shall pass. That's right. When you get a report from the doctor, it says, no, it's too late. When your kids are on drugs and they're out in the street and the devil will say, it's too late. This is where you have to rise up in faith and say, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe his word. And I'm going to believe that my petitions he has heard. And he will answer. He will answer in his time. Not my time, but his time. Can I get amen?
Amen.
For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, so this is what we're not supposed to do. Can I get amen?
Amen?
We are to believe God in all things. And so, saints, the book of James, it tackles the issue of doubting by first addressing God's purpose for our trials. And look what he says again. Let's break this down. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. How many of you right now can honestly say you're in a trial right now? Okay, I thought I was the only one. Okay. And for some of you that didn't raise your hand, you're about ready to enter into one. What are you talking about, Pastor? What are you talking about? No. Listen. It's called living. It's called living. It's called living. Can I get amen?
Amen.
As long as we have breath on this earth, we're going to go through something. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We live in a fallen world. And these bodies of flesh will never be perfect until the perfect one comes and changes us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So hang tough. Hang in there. Praise God. Why? Look at this. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. You know, I'm old-fashioned. I'm old school. You know, one of my favorite little side things I like to do is at night when I'm watching the news is have a little bowl of popcorn. But I'm old school. I'll get the stainless steel pot, put a little oil in it, put the kernels in, and just wait for it. Huh? Just wait for it. Once you hear that first kernel pop, man, here they come. Pop, 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 pop. And they will stay fresh for a long time. But a lot of us can't wait. So we throw the bag into the microwave. 30 seconds. Man, that's hot and steamy. It tastes good. Let it cool off for about 5 minutes. And now you're chewing on a tire. Why? Because we couldn't wait, huh? Listen, God is saying, slow your roll when you're going through a trial. Wait on the Lord. Wait on God. Let him renew you. Sometimes some of us need to be renewed like an eagle, that he would strengthen us, that we would have endurance to go through whatever situation's at hand. And so saying sometimes God doesn't immediately, he doesn't immediately give the relief we seek. Why? Because he's using that particular trial to produce something good in us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Then he tells us to do this, but let patience have its perfect work. Praise God. It doesn't say let rushing the moment have perfect work, does it? Does it say, well, I want it right now? No, it says, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete. How many of you would rather be perfect and complete? Huh? Than to walk around lopsided. My goodness. And look at this. Here's the key. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. When's the last time you asked God? See, a lot of times when situations arise, we call friends, family members, oh, pray for me. Pray. Did you go to God? Did you go to him first? Say, hey, God, before I disclose what's happening right now, Lord, I want us to know what's going on. Come on. You knew before the foundation of the world everything of my life. You seen the beginning, the end of my life. So, God, show me. Am I in sin? Or is just something that because we live in a fallen body, in a fallen world, these things just occur? What is it? God will give us the wisdom. God will give us the answer. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I can only do what the Bible says to do, and that's right here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to us liberally. Praise God. We don't serve a stingy God. I hope you know that. Look at this. But let him ask in faith. Meaning, when you're asking God, how many would rather believe God or believe a lie? Or maybe you're listening to the media. Or maybe you're reading the newspapers. Or maybe you'll have friends like Job did. Remember Job? Job had three friends that came and gave their personal opinion. And God said, I'm sorry, not so. This is not why he's going through. They weren't there when the devil went up to God and said, the only reason why he doesn't curse you is because you have put a hedge of protection around his life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So the three friends came with their own understanding. This is why you're probably in sin. And that's the first thing we come up with, you know, we want to be above them, and we want to just, you know, I'm above you right now, so you're probably in sin. You know, when someone goes through something terrible, you know, we want to rise above that, and you know, God knows. And in your mind, you're probably thinking, man, what kind of sin did he fall into? And yet God is doing something radical in his life and her life that you and I don't even know, have a clue. God is perfecting us through that. Can I get an amen? My goodness. God wants to do something radical so that when you go through that fire, guess what? Now you can pull someone else out of that same fire. My goodness. God is for us. He's not against us. God wants to raise us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. He wants to bless your life, not curse your life. He came to die for us. And if he came to die for us, guess what? He wants us to succeed in this life. Can I get an amen? Let your mind, body, and soul prosper. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, God wants us to come to him with our request, trusting that he hears us. Can I get amen? Do you believe God hears you? However, if he doesn't answer them immediately, oh, are we going to say, oh, God didn't hear me? It's not because he doesn't care. It's quite the opposite. Because when things don't happen when you want, this is where you got to go back to God's word. Can I get amen? Because God will have the answer. Look at this in 1 Peter right up here. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? First of all, we need to be clothed with humility. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, when I'm going through the fire, man, God has me on humble knees. Can I get amen? Amen? I know it's him. He's allowing me to learn something. We don't walk around proud. Yeah, I could overcome this. No, we have to have humility. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And look at this. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the what? To the humble. Therefore, look at this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You see, see the trial you're going through, it may be a week, it may be a month, it may even be a year. But there's an end game to that trial. And God is saying, stay in there. Don't give up. Let me produce those things in you. Let me show you who you truly are. And God will show us who we are so that he would strengthen us. Amen. That we would use God's word. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because here, look at this in verse 7. Casting, say that with me. Casting all your cares upon him, for he doesn't like you. Does it say that? No. It says, cast in all your cares, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, here goes old Slewfoot. Where's Ida Sully at? There she is. She laughs every time I say old Slewfoot. That's right, because he is Slewfoot. He wants to slay us. He wants to destroy you. Listen, everything that God made that's holy and good and pure, it's the opposite with this guy. He wants to destroy everything that God has created pure and holy. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking who may devour. But you need to know, he doesn't have any teeth. He roars, but he's like this. God will not allow anything to come upon you unless it's been given permission by God. Can I get amen? And it's not time for us to check out. Hey, listen, we were home for 3-4 months. And look where God has brought us here. Come on. Jesus. This was birthed supernaturally. Praise God. It is amazing grace. Can I get amen? Because God's grace is amazing. We serve a mighty God. And so, saints, God, his purposes are always accomplished according to his timing, not ours. You know, he may not be there when you call upon him, but guess what? He's always right on time. He's a right on time God. Can I get amen? Amen. That's right. That's right. When the doctor says, well, you got this now, and you got this, and you got so many months, and you got this and that, hallelujah, you need to tell the devil he's a liar. That's right. You got to believe the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord says, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. Can I get an amen? You got to believe God. You got to believe God. That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And that the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. You must put God at the forefront of your life. He's got to be your shield and buckler. He's the one that goes before you. He's the one that plows down your enemies. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. That's why we must wait upon him. Trust him. Even when we don't see any evidence. That's so hard, isn't it? God, are you really at work? Some of us are waiting for a blowhorn. Yes, I am working. We're waiting for that. And yet God will speak to us either through the scripture or with that tiny still voice. Lo, I'm with you. He told his disciples, I will be with you until the end of the world. Can I get amen? Well, he's with us. He's with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So James says, when we doubt the Lord, we are like this. Look at this. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Say that with me. No doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Is that you? Could that be you? Or hopefully we're the opposite of that. We're going to trust God. Amen? You see, saints of God, 1 minute, we're confidently trusting God. And the next moment, we're wondering if he even answers our prayers at all. Listen, if he answered one prayer, don't you think he'll answer the next? Or did he go on a vacation? Huh? Or did he say, well, you know what? I'll get to you when I can get to you. That's right. Listen, the Bible says he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Praise God. And he is omnipresent. He fills all space. He's everywhere at once. So how can we get away from him? Can I get amen? He's with us. How many of you right now can honestly say, I've been praying for certain things from God, and yet I still haven't seen that prayer answered? You're probably in sin. No. I'm going to be like Job's friends right now. You're probably in sin. No. No. The Bible says keep fighting the good fight of faith. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Keep on pressing. Keep believing God. Why? Because if he answers that particular need or prayer, whatever it is, you probably wouldn't be able to handle it right now. That's right. Well, I think that's the one for me, God. I really do. And then you say, I do, right? At the altar, yeah. And then you find out, man. Do you ever brush your teeth? Listen, God is saying, wait on me. Wait on this whole mess. You know what? This whole message is, I'm just going to revise the message. Wait on me. And sometimes we fuss and argue with the Lord thinking that this will motivate him to answer sooner. Oh God, now. But all of our doubts simply reveal that we are impatient. That's what the bottom line means. That's what it is. And we don't know God's will. And we're not yet ready to receive his answer, as I just said. We're just too impatient. But look what God says about being impatient. How many believe you have the Holy Spirit? All right, there's probably all of us in here, right? Hopefully everyone has been born again, right? Well, if God is the epitome of love, then the love of God is living inside us. And he will manifest himself through us. You know, the revelation that came to me was this. We live in these unregenerated bodies, right? We live in these bodies of flesh, right? And the Paul said, there's no good thing that lives in me. Yet, how does the Holy Spirit live inside us? I had to ask, God, wait a minute, there's nothing good in me. Man, throughout the course of a day, a thought of lust, a thought of greed, a thought of just even lying thoughts come. I go, how do you choose? The Bible says you are light and there was no darkness in you. Yet we live in these bodies that are dark. And then he had to show me. When a heart repents and cries out to God, that's when the blood comes and deals with the original sin. Hallelujah, from the garden. And so now the blood has covered us. So now he has moved the sin out of the way through the blood, and now he can put his spirit in us. Did you catch that? He could put his spirit now in us. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has covered our sin. So when God the Father looks down, he doesn't see your sin. He sees the blood. Can I get an amen? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Man, that's a song, I believe, from way back in the day when we used to do, you know. And so, if the Holy Ghost is living inside us, look at this. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. And thinks no evil. Wow. You catch that? So if the love of God is truly in you, you will wait. God, you know what? Yeah, I may desire that, but I'm going to wait on you. Because what you have prepared for me is much better than I can go prepare for myself. We'll crash and burn long before he sends that blessing. Oh, yes. King David understood this too. Look what he says in Psalms. Wait on the Lord. Say that with me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on what? The Lord. Can we learn to wait? Come on, I'm hoping this message is going to strengthen us. Why? Because there are more days ahead of us that we know the Bible says they're going to be evil days. Evil's already here. We're seeing chaos in the street. We've seen everything is chaotic. And God just put on my heart right now, let's just take 1 minute. And we need to lift up our president. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, destroy that COVID right now. Lord, I pray for him and the First Lady and all those who acquired this. Lord, I pray, Lord, for their safety and their health, despite of who is for them or against them in this place. Lord, we don't wish any bad thing upon nobody, including our worst enemies. So, God, deliver him. Bless him, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Saints, whenever God delays in responding to our petitions, he's teaching us to consistently trust and believe him. Can I get an amen? Not because we see the answer, but because he's promised to hear and answer our prayers. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that he answers our prayers? He does. But when doubts arise because God delays, it's due to our lack of trust in him. Yes, this is where that lack comes from. And it's not a lack of care or ability on God's part, because we just read, cast your cares upon him, what? For he cares for you, right? Look what the book of Matthew says. And Jesus answered them, saying, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not what? Doubt. You will not only do what has been done to the fig tree. Remember, he cursed that fig tree and it died immediately. But even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. How many of you right now got mountains before you right now? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. A lot of us want to go around that mountain. Where's the shortcut? Or let's just build a tunnel through it. Huh? We're always looking for our shortcut. Oh God, just lift this burden. But man, stay in the fight. God will move that mountain. Yes, he will. Or he wouldn't have wrote it. Can I get amen? So my question is this. What causes our faith to waver? Huh? What causes it? Saints, we choose to rely on our own feelings rather than on the word of God. If we shift our focus from the promises in his word to our feelings, our faith will become unstable. Why? Because I can say, I love you this morning, and then out of the same mouth, I hate you tonight. What? We can actually do that? Yeah. Because we live in this body of flesh. But God, hallelujah, is unchangeable. Can I get an amen? His thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Can I get amen? That's right. God cannot be changed by our feelings, and we cannot dictate him. No, we can't. We have no power for that. God is saying, stay humble before me. Look at this. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, and he understood clearly. Let's look at this verse of scripture right here in Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven on earth is named. He has named us. Did you know? From heaven, he has named us. Praise God. From the whole family to heaven and earth, that is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with might through his spirit, capital S, his what? His Holy Spirit in the inner man. You see, as I shared earlier, the Spirit of God that lives in us, that is who gets strengthened. Our mind, our flesh, it'll go like a roller coaster every day. Every day it's a roller coaster. Can I get amen? But God, this is why he says in verse 17, that Christ may what? Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted, that's the key, being rooted and grounded. This is why you need to be in prayer. This is why you need to be in Bible study. This is why you need the word of God, right? Because the word of God is what roots you, what grounds you. Can I get an amen? Let the word of God saturate your life. Let it marinate for a while. And then God will show you revelation of his word. And when I say revelation, nothing new. He'll just show you things you did not see before. Can I get amen? Amen. That's right. That's right. Revelation. Praise God. Thank you, God. Look at this right here. Verse 9, to know the love. Say that with me. Oh, no. Let's go back to verse 18. Yes, verse 18. Look at that. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. That's all of us in here, right? Yes. What is the width and length and depth and height? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I would rather be filled with his fullness. Can I get amen? Amen. I want everything that God has for me. How many want everything that God has? Stay close. Just draw close to him. Can I get amen? Saints, but when our faith is grounded in the word, we never have to question what God says. Why? Because you and I, we stand on truth. We stand on truth. How many can honestly say you stand on truth? Or do you rather believe a lie? No, we stand on truth. Can I get an amen? We yield to reason rather than believing God. Human reasoning and faith are always not compatible. This is why we got to trust the Lord with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will what? Direct our path. Hallelujah. So saints, when our faith is grounded in the word, we never have to question what God says. Why? Because we're standing with him. And we may have all the good reasons, my friends, for making a particular request to God. But he sees more of the situation than we do. I hope you know that. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So he knows our life from the beginning to the end. So he's already seen our life played out. If he's seen our life played out, he knows when to come and rescue us from our bacon. Can I get amen? That's right. I know there are times when I felt that I should have died in situations, yet God didn't allow me to die. Can I get amen? He didn't allow you to die, especially when the doctor was already canceling you out. Oh, you better prepare, get your what? House in order. Get your matters in order. What? That was 10 years ago. Praise God. Praise God. Now, look at this. We fail to see God at work in our circumstances. Why? Because if the Lord doesn't change our circumstances, it's because he's using them to bring us to maturity. How many of you want to mature in Christ? I do. His primary purpose is not to give us everything we desire, but to shape us into the image of his Son. Come on. And that's the part that hurts. Why? Because there's a whole lot of suffering and there's a whole lot of patience that's needed in our lives. Eventually, he will establish us. And what's the purpose for that? So that we can bless someone else. It's not about, oh, I've arrived. Because none of us will ever arrive until the one that arrives to come take us home. Thank you, God. Knowing his good purposes frees us from every worry and doubt and allows us to relax and wait patiently for the Lord to accomplish what he desires in our life. And he desires the best. Can I get amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you. And then turn to your neighbor again and say, he really does. He loves you. He's in love with us. I hope you know that. Look what he gave us here, because he loves us. Hallelujah. If he didn't love us, you know what? He would say, you know what? You're done. I'm moving past you. You're done. No. He already saw a place where the saints of God could come and praise him and glorify him and magnify him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But this is what happens a lot of times. Look at this. We listen to the negative counsel of other people, just like Job's friends, as I shared with you. And sometimes those around us may discourage us from persevering in prayer, since it appears useless from their perspective. I'd rather believe God. Okay, I'm glad. Yeah, you know, maybe you, yeah, thank you. Thank you for your advice. Thank you for the encouragement. Yeah, but I'm going to believe God. They reason that since God hasn't answered, there's something wrong with our request. And we should stop praying about it. Just stop praying about it. No. Bible never tells us to stop. Bible says see. It never says cease praying. It says pray always. With what? Supplication. My goodness. Thank you, God. And that's why it's wise to keep some of our prayer requests between us and the Lord. There's some things you shouldn't even tell nobody. That's right. Hey, psst, 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 you know, psst, you don't tell nobody. Psst, psst. And then the next week, when you walk in, the whole church looks at you. There's some things you just keep to yourself or tell your loved one, your spouse, that will never tattle on you. Can I get an amen? One of the things I teach in premarital counseling, never expose your dirty laundry to nobody. Can I get an amen? Keep it within the house. If you got a situation, take it behind closed doors between you and her. Or her and him. Can I get amen? And let it never come out of that room. Can I get amen? Oh, but we like to call so-and-so. And all of National City knows your business now. Help me, Jesus. Help me, God. Look at this. We focus on the circumstances rather than God. I'd rather Focus on God. His desire and objective is to what? Increase our love, devotion, and commitment to Him. Yet often all we want is from Him just a quick fix so I could get on my way. I'd rather have Him do surgery and get it done right than to put a Band-Aid in it still bleeding. Can I get an amen? If He doesn't intervene according to our time schedule, it's because He's working in us to build and strengthen our loving relationship with Him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now look, we are ignorant of God's ways. Why? Because some of us don't read our Bible. If you read your Bible, you'll find out why God's allowed these things to happen. Why? So He can strengthen us so that we can, okay, Lord, thank You. Thank You, God. Now I know, yes, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in Your ways. How many believe His ways are better than ours? Look at this. We carry guilt over present or past sins. Listen, you got to let the past go. You just got to let it go. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Listen, what happened yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not even here. He gives us one day at a time. Today is the day. That's right. Look at this. How do we correct our wavering faith? How do we do that? We begin by asking ourselves the following questions here. Look at this. How do we correct our wavering faith? Where are these doubts coming from? These are questions that plague us every day. Where's this doubt coming from? Listen, we got to learn to trust the Lord with all our heart. That's right. Listen, when we were all told to go home in March, Brother Tony, who had to go right now, he says, that brother's been with us from the very beginning when we first had our Regal Cinema church at the Regal Cinema on 8th Street. He set up the whole PA system in there. And then when we went to Temple Beth Shalom, and now here. And he told me, because that's what he does. He goes into big, giant churches and small churches like ours to set up their audio. And he said, you know what? He goes, by God's grace, your ministry's still around. I know so many churches that have been dissolved now because of COVID. They're no longer the church that was here. Brother Josh knows that. And they were thriving here at one time. What I didn't understand, and I asked Brother Josh, how did they bear it in here without any AC? Because we were here before the AC came. It was a sweat box in here. I said, man, they had to endure it. But these are unfortunate things that happen. They happen. And so how do you respond? I pray for that former pastor, that God would strengthen him, that God will do another work in his life, that God will bring back the saints of God, maybe in another place. But man, the enemy is a real enemy, and he wants to squash our dreams. He wants to squash our vision. He wants to take us out. But God is saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Can I get an amen? We are so blessed. I want us to just remember this day, this opening day. We need to be a thankful people. There's nothing that we did to receive this but His grace. It was His mercy. It was His love that gave us this church. And be honest with you, none of us deserve it. But we say yes and amen, Lord, to your will. We love you, God, despite of ourselves. Because we can be ugly at times. Look at this. Did God promise to meet your needs? Did he promise to meet your needs? Yes, he did. However, we must learn to distinguish between our needs and our wants. Can I get amen? That's right. You may walk into your garage every day and I would love a Beamer. But God gave you a VW Bug And so God is saying, you know what? It still takes you to and fro. Can I get amen? Amen. That beamer is a want. That's right. But he'll give us what we need. Thank you, God. Look at this. Did God not promise to be with you at all times? Did he? He says, look at this. In Hebrews 13:5, as we go in for a close, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God, have you come to a fork in the road in your life? Where are you right now with God as we come in for a close? Is there a report from the doctor? Is there a relationship that has gone awry? Is there family or friends that are drug addicts and alcohol addicts and it seems like there's no hope? I'm here to let you know there is hope. Amen. Hope in God. Hope in Christ. He's the one that'll save us. He's the one that will deliver us. He's the one that cares for us. Amen? Amen. Did God not give you the greatest gift of all, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? That's what's going to take us into eternity, my friends. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He's our helper, our source of strength, who empowers us and gives you and I a sense of security. The Spirit of God living inside of. Hallelujah. I end with these questions. What causes your faith to waver? Is it feelings, circumstances, uncertainty regarding God's will? What is it? God will show you. Be honest with Him. Be truthful with God, and He will answer. Number two, what means has God provided to strengthen your faith in Him? What has He shown you? You know what He's shown me? Despite of yourself, Pastor Fee, I've heard God say this many times, despite of yourself, despite of your shortcomings, despite of sometimes the way you think, I still love you. And God is saying He still loves you despite of yourself. He loves you with an everlasting love. Never for one moment, whatever you're going through, that He has abandoned you, because He hasn't. God loves you so much. Are you availing yourself of these means, whatever they are? Number four, how have you seen God answer your prayers in an unexpected way or on a later date than you wanted? You know, on my live stream, I shared this. I felt led to share it again. Give me about 2 minutes. I'll make it quick. I lived in a two-car garage in Paradise Hills, 303 Del Grove Lane. And I was already divorced at that time. I was single for unmarried man for almost 10 years, living in a two-car garage, serving the Lord. I worked at Western Lumber. And at that time, back in 1989, making $14, $15 an hour was a whole lot of money. It was in 89. But yet, the union turned its back on the ones that were grandfathered in. I was grandfathered in. So wherever lumber company I would work for, they would have to pay me that scale. Well, they came in with a different plan. They got rid of the grandfathers and brought in the $6 guys. And for the first time in 14 years, I was laid off. I was now on my fifth week of unemployment, and I only had, that's right, a month left. So I got before the Lord on my knees. And I put my Bible on the foot of my bed in that two-car garage. And it was just me and Him. And I put my head down. I said, Lord. And I was quoting scripture back to Him like he needs me to, you know, He needs to hear the word back at Him. But I said, Lord, you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Lord, you said, God, that if I walk with you, if I honor you, if I praise you, glorify you, that you would take care of everything. And I was just, you know, going through that with him. And my eyes were closed. And then it was like someone turned on the television screen behind my eyelids. And I saw a face. It was the owner of the house, Victor Gorospe. Victor rented out every room, and him and his wife lived in a motorhome on the side of the house, but he would rent all the rooms, and I rented out the two-car garage. And God's still voice said, go talk to him. I sprung up from my knees, and I walked into the kitchen. There was a door from the garage into the kitchen, and there he was. He was cleaning out vegetables. He was preparing a meal for him and his wife. And I said, hey, Vic, I noticed you got an office back there. I said, what do you do? Oh, goes, oh, Fee, when I retired from the Navy 20 years ago, I became a realtor. I go, really? I go, but I never see you back there. He goes, oh, because I work out of the National City office under my broker. I go, can you make a whole lot of money doing what you're doing? He goes, in a good year, I could make $200,000. What? I go, what's a bad year? About 60. I go, oh my gosh. I'm working 10-hour days. I was working 10-hour days, half day on Saturday, and maybe made $29,000 that whole year with labor, with blisters on my hands and my back hurting. I go, I would love to do what you're doing. He goes, I go, does it cost a lot of money to do what you're doing? He goes, no, all you have to do is enroll at Anthony School of Real Estate in Chula Vista, take a course, prepare for the state exam, and you'll get your license and you can hang out with a broker. I go, man, I would love to do something like that. He goes, do you want to be a realtor? I said, Vic, I don't have no money. He said, I didn't ask you if you had any money. He goes, Fee, do you want to be a realtor? I go, Vic, I would love to, but I'm about ready to expire my unemployment, and I probably won't be able to live here anymore. He goes, I didn't ask you all that. Do you want to be a realtor? I said, Vic, I would love to. He goes, okay, meet me here tomorrow morning at 6. I'll enroll you. Pass the state exam, and when you close your first deal, then think about paying me back. It was about $1,500 to start the whole thing. I had no money. But God spoke to me and said, I have prepared something glorious for you. And so I went to that school. 6 weeks later, I took the state exam. And that's been 31 years and I haven't looked back since. Hallelujah. I own my own company. I'm a broker. I'm a corporate officer for Jeremiah Realty. I have agents working for me by God's grace. And even the times when the market crashed in 2008, God showed us how to keep our homes, right, Brother Joe? That's another divine appointment, because during the crash of 08 and everyone was losing their homes, God allowed my path to cross Brother Joel's path, and we became great friends ever since. You see, the Bible says, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his will and purpose. I had to share that testimony because some of you are going through, and God is saying, look unto me, the author and the finisher of my faith. I have the best yet to come for your life. God wants to see you prosper. God wants to see you excel. God wants to see you and your family and your whole household saved. All you got to do is believe on the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. Don't waver. Let this message resonate. Don't let it just be, it was a great service. Well, what did he preach about? Well, I don't know, but it was great. No, let it sink in. Can I get an amen? Let God speak to your situation right now. Because he's coming again. How many believe he's coming again? He's coming again. He's going to come and he's going to rapture us out of here. He's going to meet us in the clouds. Praise God. And guess what? In the Bible, God gives us, he reveals the mystery. That just like the ancient Galileans, when a wife was betrothed to her husband, he says, I go away and I come back to prepare a place for you. And where I go, that's where you may be. So it's not like he's coming to this earth. He's going to meet us in the clouds. And the Galileans, because Jesus was a Galilean, his apostles were from Galilee, they understood. They showed us the mystery how Jesus is coming back for the bride. We are the bride of the living God. Can I get amen? We are the bride of Christ. And I want you to catch this little video right here. Let's just catch this for a moment. Let's look at this right here. Right here. Oh. Look at this. That's the father on the right. Yeah, lower the line, sister.
The wait is over, and the groom is finally on his way to be united with his bride.
Look at this.
As they move through the town streets, trumpets blare loudly to not only wake the bride, but also the guests that were invited to the wedding feast. Only those that were prepared could quickly rise and join the concession.
The bridegroom and his groomsmen now exit the house. They go out of the compound, begin to serpentine through the streets of the village until finally they come near the bride's house. And as the bride comes into view, what a shockingly beautiful scene it must be. There in the middle of the night, you have a row of women with the bride in the middle, all the bridesmaids dressed in their white linen robes. And in the center, the bride dressed in her beautiful bridal gown.
After a year of preparing and waiting, they are finally together again. Reunited as one forever.
Parade led by the bridegroom now rush up towards the bride and her family and all the people that are standing there, the bridesmaids, and the two men with the litter set the litter down on the ground in front of the bride. And she very, very modestly steps out onto the litter and she lowers herself down.
The bride did not simply follow her groom back to the father's house, but she was lifted into the air. In fact, the ancient Galileans referred to this moment as flying the bride to the father's house.
She's lifted up off the ground. She's escorted with him back to that place of preparation. It speaks, it shouts all about God's grace. It's not her effort. She was just to be ready because she loves him. She's borne aloft. She's taken away with him. It's all about the grace of God. It's about the grace of God from the beginning all the way through to now to the end.
My goodness. Look at what it says here in Thessalonians. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, meaning those who have passed away. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Look at that. To meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, it's in the Gospels how when Jesus comes for his church, we're going to be caught up in the air. Just like the Galileans picked her up and took her all the way back to the Father's house. She was in the air. She didn't touch the ground. That's how Jesus is coming back for us. Can I get an amen? My goodness. So my question is this. Look at this. My question is this. We must be changed. Listen. I could barely jump 6 inches off this ground. Michael Jordan could do what? 6 feet. But guess what? We are defined by gravity. Gravity defies us here, and we have to come back to the ground, right? So how is these bodies going to get into heaven? You ever thought about that? Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this is why the Bible says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. It was all a mystery at one time. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. God is going to give us the brand new body like Jesus when he rose again on the third day. That body will live forever. This body will not live forever, but the new body will. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So, my friends, for those of you that are not ready to meet the Lord, don't let this happen. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King? Jesus said to be ready every day. Listen, we can't live yesterday. We can't live tomorrow. We live today. Be ready every day, the day that God gives us. Amen? Amen. That we would be taken up. The Word of God cannot lie. And that hasn't happened yet, has it? Mm-mm. It's going to happen. So let me pray, and then we can dismiss. Now, also, in this room here, this is the mini fellowship hall, not the big one. The big one is where we're going to be next week when we have the caterer come. And everyone is going to be blessed with a wonderful Mexican fiesta. Amen? And we invited the church next door, Sweetwater. So, did you guys get a count? Remember I said to count? So what was the count up there total? 35 from them that you guys counted? Okay.
Possible 37,
okay. And then a lot of friends and family are going to come here next week. I got a lot of my family. And before we leave today, please, I need some strong brothers. And to help us in the fellowship hall, to set up more tables and chairs so we don't have to be scurrying around next week, that we could do it today and just set up more tables. Wait, I don't know, how many have not been in the fellowship hall yet? Oh, you're going to love it. It's twice the size of Temple Beth Shalom's. And there's classrooms in there. There's a full kitchen in there. That's where the bathrooms are. And later on, they said they're going to build a bathroom here. Praise God. This is a wonderful church. And I haven't seen the rabbi pop in his head yet. By the way, I'm inviting the rabbi and Arlene to come next week. If they come, I want to just say thank you to them for allowing us to have ministry for 13 and a half years. Amen? I still miss the guy. I really do. I mean, he was a taskmaster. But you know what? We learned very well to honor. We honored that place. And we're going to honor this place. And so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this wonderful morning that you have given us. And Lord, this is the first Sunday, and we're so excited. And thank you for shutting my mouth now, because I could go on for more and longer, and I'm just long-winded, I guess. But you made me this way, so thank you. And so, God, bless our day. Bless those, Lord, that are going through. And I'm praying that if there's someone that needs prayer, that they would come to the altar, we would pray and ask God to meet your needs. But Lord, thank you. We're looking forward to this week, and we just want to give you the praise, glory, and honor, for it all belongs to you. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Is he worthy? Is Jesus worthy? Well, my friends.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.